came from Las Vegas. Vernon was here. He came here in May.
Mm-hmm.
1947.
Mm-hmm.
And I came, oh, I must tell you this. I came here in June. Now, I had sent him a telegram. He was living in, he was working for BGL on the Laird Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't expect me to get here this early, but I sent him a telegram that I'm arriving such and such a day.
How did you get up here? Did you, yeah.
10 a.m. We flew on the base.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where on the Laird Base.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked nights.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just gotten off and went to bed, and they yelled, "Vernon, there's a telegram for you." And here was telling him, "I'm coming today." The day I landed is when he got the telegram. Somehow it got misplaced. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. And he comes, he and our best man to be,
mm-hmm.
that grew up with him in Nevada, ran like crazy, and we land, and they just arrived at the same time as our plane arrived. And then when I got off, he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "You sent me the money. Didn't you tell me to
go?" Yeah, you changed your mind. Yeah.
So you don't have to put all that down.
No, no, I won't. No, no, I won't.
But so he said, "I don't have a place for you to stay." So I said, "Oh my God, I'm going back home." Mm-hmm. But he says, "No, we'll find something. There has to be a place in town."
Mm-hmm.
He's only been here a month, so he doesn't know too much neither. So we go downtown. And when I saw the town, for sure, I said, it was a rough town, rough-looking mm-hmm. town. First place, there was like 40, 50 men to a woman. Because they were...
Married husband.
For a young girl, you know it. I could have had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting married. But there was construction workers, miners,
uh-huh.
and there was military.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous amount of all different walks of life here. And it was dirt road downtown mm-hmm. then. There was mm-hmm. no paved road. And the main street was Second Avenue. And a little bit of Cushman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After Fourth Street, where was the House of Ill Repute, oh, I mm-hmm. can tell you some good stories,
mm-hmm.
Was nothing. You know, I mean, there's main school
mm-hmm.
and a few houses, and of course, a lot of large old houses. And someone said, we start going around, and someone couldn't find a place, of course. So there was no place for rent. Someone said, "Go to the Nordale Hotel. There's a lady called Eva McGowan."
Okay, that name kept running to my mind the other day.
Irish woman.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been here for year one. She was the hostess of Fairbanks, is what they called her.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely, lovely person. And you could talk to her in 10 minutes, she knew you liked her.
Mm-hmm,
she
mm-hmm.
was that type of mm-hmm. woman, lovely person.
Yeah.
So we're standing, and she helped veterans and military wives, military boys. That's mm-hmm. what she was doing, to place them, to mm-hmm. find them a place to stay. So I'm standing in line, and she's talking to them, and I turned around and I said to Vernon, "She wants to know too much, this I'm saying this thing." And I said, "This is crazy. What am I doing here?" I said, I'm going to go back home for you. This is not for me. Mind you, I'm from back east, which is Jersey, New York.
Yeah.
Go to Las Vegas. Before that, I lived in California. And come to here. And I said, "This is crazy. This is the land of nowhere."
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
She heard me. She says, "Just a little young lady. I want to talk to you."
Mm-hmm.
So I get up, and she wants to know my name. She says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I come up to be married." She said, "Nice, but I think I'm going to go home. This is bad, you know, no place to live." And I said, I don't think I can live in a place like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what she said? "We need young blood like you. I'll find you a place."
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said to me. I'll never forget that. I was 21 and a half years old. And, she calls up, well, across the street from Main School was a restaurant called the Manor Tea Room. It was a lovely place. Outside was nothing. Inside they had white tablecloths and some like a tea room.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there's two sisters. I can't think of the last name. You know, this is 1947. Julie and Carolyn was two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One was divorced, one was a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And the widow had a son. And she calls up, she said, Julie, I have a problem here. I have a lovely girl here that comes to be married, and she can't find a place, and she wants to leave, and we need that type of a person here. And before I knew it, she had learned my history, you know. I said I wasn't going to tell her, but she got my whole life history. Mm-hmm. And so she conned her into having me move in with them. But one night, this is true, I lived with them one year.
Oh, how neat.
We got married, and we got married, by the way, in the federal building by Commissioner Smith. At that time, it was territory, and it was commissioners then, it was no judges. And Commissioner Smith married us. We had five men stood up for us, all his buddies at work. And a strange girl, I don't even know who she is, one of the guys brought a girl, she was my maid of honor.
Golly.
And Julie and Carolyn made us the wedding dinner and baked a little cake for us and put a bride and groom on it. And we stayed with them. I went to work. I helped them a lot too. They wouldn't even charge us a penny. They didn't charge us a penny. We stayed there, and then they decided to leave, and they sold the place. But before they did, the girl that bought it, of course, she was going to change. It wasn't going to be the Manatee Room anymore. And so Julie said, I will find you a place to live. And we moved to Wendell Street. The house is still standing there.
Oh.
You know where the Satco building is? By the Wendell Street Bridge?
Yeah.
Well, right there is a green and white house.
Oh, I know that house.
A little old house, that's the only house they left.
Yeah.
That's where he lived.
For him,
Emma and Bud Grill, he was the postmaster, she was the music teacher. And they belonged to the St. Lutheran Church. And so Julie called up Emma and told the situation, and she happened to have a spare bedroom. She had a little boy and a girl. He's a music teacher, her son today, here in school.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Jerry Grill. Yeah. And she had a back bedroom that wasn't in use. We couldn't eat there or cook, but we could share the bathroom and live there, which we did. And we were there when the 1948 flood hit, too.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
And then, at that time, then, of course, Julie and Carolyn left. They moved back to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. That's where they were from. And we stayed with Emma, and Vernon worked at Arleston, and I worked at Laird Air Force Base.
My God.
I worked first for the resident engineer, and then I went into BGL. I worked for them in the planning department. And the flood came. Vernon was able, after a few days, to go. But he had to fly in to 26 Mile.
Oh, God.
Go to work. And I, of course, couldn't go. And after about 4 or 5 days, then I was able to go. We had to change the clothes when we got there. Because we walked from Wendell Street over to the gate, and then I'd hitch. Because those days you could hitch. You knew everybody.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
yes.
You couldn't, it was nothing to be afraid of. And besides that, I was hat check girl for the Elks Club. And Elks Club used to be where Penny's parking lot is.
Oh my gosh.
That's where, right on Christmas Street. And only in the winter, I hat check. And I didn't get wages. All my tips was my wages. They're very good. And I even tried one time to be a sales lady for a trading post on 2nd, Kay's trading post. But I was too honest, so they couldn't keep me. Because I told those GIs, don't buy that, that's junk. Mostly Japanese. Don't buy something. He said, B, I have to let you go.
Oh, that's lovely. That was lovely. What was it like? What did you feel when you, after you stayed here?
Well, after I stayed, I loved it. It was, you know, this place is like a melting pot of the world. There was all walks of life here. It was the most exciting time because there was, you know, there was gambling going on. There was the House of Ill Repute on 4th. Did I tell you about that? Well, when I first came, Vernon was working, and I was helping his sisters, you know, at their restaurant, because at that time I didn't get a job, as of yet. And Vernon would say to me, why don't you walk around, maybe to see a place, you know, we could find rent a house or something, and see what's going on. He worked nights, and he slept during the day. And it was pretty hard for me to stay upstairs in one room while you were sleeping, and I would help the girls downstairs, or the women, and I call them girls, but they were women older than I. And so one day, I decided I'm going to really walk around and see what's going on. And I went up the street, and they were the friendliest people I ever saw. And they asked me, would I like to come and have a cup of coffee? So I said, no, I'm really just walking around seeing, I'm just new here, and I'm telling these women. And then I find out that it was 4th Street, the houses of ill repute. But when I got home, I told Brendan about it. He said, don't you ever go that street again.
But they're human beings like anybody else, you know.
Of course. In fact, I used to go to beauty shop when I started hat checking, and then when I went to work on the base. My hair was very, very long.
You have very nice hair.
Yeah, it was really something. And I used to get styled every different way. She was a terrific operator. And that beauty parlor is where all the girls from the street went. They were very smart looking.
Oh, yes.
They were very nice. Very nice. I didn't know that first time, you know, when I opened my big mouth to the owner. And she and I became friends, you know, and we used to go have coffee afterwards. And I'd say, how could those girls do those things? And I'm going on, and she kept saying, B, I'll tell you about it later. Don't say any more. And she said, are you going to stay and wait? We'll go have some coffee. I said, sure. And this is because I was working on a day, so I went to the beauty parlor at night, Friday night. Then after they all left, and she closed, and she says, now, listen, you typical Easterner, watch what you say. All those girls came from 4th Street.
That's my business. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they were good-looking girls.
Oh, yeah.
Neat-looking. Very nice. I said, you know, Gwen, I bet you, when they went to this state, you would never know what they were. They were ladies. They were very nice people.
Well, I think...
You know, I don't condemn it. I don't condemn nobody anymore.
I know that.
And so, after that, we used to be very friendly, you know. I wouldn't tell Vernon. Because he wouldn't let me go to beauty parlor.
There's no point. No.
So, that's what the life was here, you know. There was gambling here, wide open, you know. Mm-hmm. And never had a fear. I could walk home from Bales Club. And we lived in at 10th Avenue. Then we got an apartment. And I used to walk home after hat checking, never have a fear. Someone would come up and say, would you like me to escort you home? A GI or a minor. And I said, no, it's all right. I don't have 4 to 5 to go. And never did I have a fear. When we used to go out, we never closed the doors. Never had a key, no matter where we lived. And the people were close, really close, because you know, all of us was really by ourselves. We had no family. You know, this is in the 40s, it's different. There's people here today that have children that was born here, and so on and so on. So now they have family, grandchildren.
But not then.
Not then. And I had a lot of friends that were 50s and 60s, and I was only 22.
Oh, you were their family. Yeah.
You know, I was young. And I'm still friends with the ones that are alive. Brush his teeth after eating children. I suspect to make sure that he gets it out between his teeth. So, I have friends that, you know, most of them are gone, retired. They're widows, a lot of them. And we're still friends when we go out and see them outside. They were here from the 30s and even earlier. You know, they saw a lot more than I did. But then it was right after World War II. So you know, this was just first dawning here.
Yeah.
They were just building Austin, and they were just really building land. So there was a lot of work going on, and the mines were all running then. So there was all walks of life here, and people were so friendly, teacher, and trusting. This is true.
Oh, I believe you. I'm sure that
Gina was such a different feeling here.
Yeah.
And you know, it was open house Christmas time. Everybody, my God, you could have been partying all night long, going from house to house to have Tom and Jerry. And Jerry Punch is what everybody had. And the Elks Club always had a big spread, you know, and Tom and Jerry's own. And the people, you know, you never would find it outside like that. Even in those days, the people were, there was a different feeling, close feeling here, like we're at the end of the world, you know, really.
We better stick together. Yeah.
So we did.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
And there was a lot of love.
Oh, I'm sure.
There was.
I'm
there
sure
was
that,
a
yeah.
lot of love here.
Yes, I still get that around from everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like well, today's a little different. Though,
mm-hmm. I'm sure it is because there's so many more people.
And,
yeah,
and
there's
different
enough.
Breed, too,
yeah.
I hate to say.
Yeah.
It's a tough to say. But, and they really don't feel for less. But most of them come up for one thing, you know, for money.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's true. It's a shame to say it. We, Vernon, in those days, didn't make any money. We brought home $76 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the living cost was very high. We paid $50 a month to, just for bedroom.
Oh,
and we had to eat out three times
wow.
a day.
Wow. That's very expensive.
In
how did
those
you manage?
Days, I skimped. I watched. Mm-hmm. I watched. The first time, and I didn't make much money. The first time, I decided I'm going to start Christmas Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I put $5 away, and you know,
yeah.
and here comes November check, $250, and then the next time I did $10, and that we took that money went outside.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah. yeah.
That was something like found gold. Bernie, so where'd you get that money?
Mm-hmm.
I saved the Christmas fund. That was a surprise. I just skipped, you know, and I watched
mm-hmm.
all the
oh,
kids,
I still do
you
that.
Know,
yeah.
And you know when we get. The base, they used to have like a boarding house, a mess hall,
mm-hmm.
and you could go there, the workers, the ones that lived, of course, got meals, but it was the ones that didn't, it was $50 a meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid 50 cents for lunch. But it was like a boarding house meal. It wasn't sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And breakfast, the same thing. Your platter was empty, they burned another platter out. You couldn't believe that.
Oh, wow.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I used to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat with a bunch of men, and I never saw men eat like they did.
Mm-hmm.
God love them, you
mm-hmm.
know, they enjoyed their food. And I paid 50 cents, and all
oh,
I wanted
wow.
to eat.
Yeah.
And there was
and good food.
Good food.
Yeah, that makes
good,
sense.
Good, hearty,
yeah.
healthy food. And then we used to eat at the pastime at night.
Mm-hmm.
And. Oh, I'll tell you so. We were really broke when we came up here. We were very broke. And when we got married, we didn't have any money. And that's why Julie and Carolyn gave us that lovely dinner. And for all these boys that were with us for our wedding, and we went to Alex Miller's father. He owned a bar on First Avenue, and Charlie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good true story. And Charlie, see, Vernon with his buddies used to go in there and have a beer, I
mm-hmm.
guess, or, you know, they were beer drinkers. And Charlie, Vernon told Charlie, we're going to get married. You know who Alex Miller is?
The name's
well,
familiar, but I don't know
why. He used to be with Egan, the politician, and
oh.
he's a big mucky muck in
mm-hmm.
Alaska. And Charlie told Vernon that when you get married, come and have a drink on the house. And so after we got married, we got a car, a rented car. We didn't even own a car the first 5 years we were married.
Mm-hmm.
We walked.
Mm-hmm.
Walked. You used to walk where Prima's Dairy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where
good,
the,
yeah. Yeah.
Where the wildlife.
Yeah, that's a good healthy walk.
All the
yeah.
time. We had friends living there, running, you know, to work, welders. But, and we used to walk to the base and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived
very healthy.
Yes,
yeah.
We walked a lot. And so when we went over to see Charlie Miller, it was the old Dreamland bar, just the old days. And he gave us a bottle of champagne as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's that. And you know, and Ira knew the man
mm-hmm.
just that day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never met him. And he's a great big man to move champagne.
Mm-hmm.
He has a good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And
just kind,
oh,
people.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's how the people were here. And look at Julie and Carolyn. I only knew them a month. They gave us a beautiful
mm-hmm,
dinner
mm-hmm.
and $20.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
a card with $20
mm-hmm.
as a gift. And they said to buy something. So you know what I did? It broke me blood. I went and got a bedspread.
Oh, yes.
For
that's
bed.
That, oh, honey.
Their bed. And it was the gift from them. And they said, you buy something that you'd like. And
so
I said,
did.
I'll get a bedspread. From the bedroom, you know, where we would stay with them. And so we're walking, and we're really, really down and out. And I'm walking along with Bergen on First Avenue, and I'm kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "What the devil are you doing?" So I said, "Oh, I'm just kicking this rolled up paper." And we both looked down, and it was a wadded up $20 bill.
For heaven's sake.
It was just like the good Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we were only married a month. Then we went in and got a good meal. We used to go to pastime and they made homemade soup and homemade bread. And that's where we used to eat our main meal at night. And that his name is Earl Hanley that owned it. We used to go to the bookstore with Dave Adler, you know. We knew everybody, and everybody knew me. Because I walked all the time, you know. I still don't drive, so I walked for years. Sorry, cut my arm. And I met some interesting people. There's some different types, you know, of people, and we had a dear friends, they're retired now, I'm sorry, that used to be with ACS operators. She's gone. He was the steward, I was the steward of the Elks Club. Her name was Bertha Byrne. She was supervisor of ACS, which was the last communication system.
Oh, that's why it's so familiar. And so you sort of watched it. Where did you live after that? Tell me the funny story about when you were looking for land and somebody mentioned Hamilton Acres to you.
Oh, yes.
That just cracked me up.
Hamilton Acres was woods. Mm-hmm. And to get over in that area, you had to go over Swing and Bridge.
Oh, you mean when there
was no road. No, there was no bridge there.
Oh, okay.
No, they had a Swing and Bridge.
Oh, how awful.
It was. Very, very... very bad. Every time I used to go on with my husband, his buddies, they used to swing it. And I got seasick to walk across.
Oh, yeah.
So his name was Cooper. I can't think of his first name. It was from Jim Cooper from Washington State. And he was looking for land. Supposedly he was going to live there. He never did. After he went outside and met a girl and decided to move back outside. Well, someone had told them about they were opening up some a new area.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a small area then. Mm-hmm. So Vernon says, "We'll find out about it," you know. He comes running back to Vernon and all, and he says, "Boy, it's a good deal." So I says, "Oh, tell me about it." We were living on 10th Avenue then, between Cushman and Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a chicken farm many years. So the house is still standing there.
Yeah.
And it looks like a barn type.
Yeah, I know the house you mean.
Well, that's where we lived in. There were three apartments, now it's only two. We lived in there, each one. The first time we lived in, we were house sitters. For two teachers.
Cushman.
Oh, I could tell you about that. That's funny. Where I had to take a bath in an old galvanized tub, fill it up with water, and sit in the kitchen.
We still do that. We still do that. Yeah.
But I never did that. Back east. I never did that. But I didn't mind it. I laughed about it, you know. It was an adventure. You know, it was really something that new life to me, and I felt like I was on top of the world living here. And it was so different and really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
It was so enjoyable, and everything that took place was a part of happiness in my life because it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't look at anything sad.
That's
going to
say that's 99% your attitude.
It was. Mm-hmm. I just laughed along with it and all. I said, "This is part of our life, you know.
Yeah,
it's an adventure." I said, "Someday I'll write a book about all these different things. Oh, I could tell you some more things." But so he said, "It's a new area, and you have to go over the Swing and Bridge." That already stopped me. Second, he says, "But they're going to build a road there one of these days." And he said, "The man is subdividing it. He's dividing it up. And they're acres, and it's $25 down because he knew all of them were all veterans from World War II, and that's when he was giving them first chance at it. And he said $25 down and $25 a month, and it comes to $300 an acre.
God, that's just incredible.
At Hamilton Acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, me? Go out in the woods way out there? That's the truth. I said, that's in the woods. That's far away. I got to be right in town, you know, city person.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be right in town. I would do it.
What year was that?
That was 1949.
Mm-hmm. How would you know? I mean, and I really understand.
I have more hindsight than foresight.
Oh, more than the human race, yeah.
I wouldn't take a gamble. But you know, the funniest thing, we had a dear friend, he lives in La Paz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he does?
Yeah.
You want us to look him up when we go down?
I'll tell you. Don't know where he lives. Right by the water, and he has a big boat that he rents out for fishing.
Yeah, well, we'll just go say hello. We're going to just do a little
thing. And I hope you could find him.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a bank director of First Federal.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And he used to have his plane here, flew, mm-hmm. and he had a lot of land, and he owned a lot of apartments. I know, but in fact, we lived in one of his apartments. He's the one who introduced my husband into plumbing. My husband was a laborer.
Smart man.
And he says to Vernon, Vernon, you're too smart to be a fish digger.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you become a welder? Because he was a welder.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon says, oh, I don't know. I never thought about it. He says, I'll be your sponsor, because those days you had to have a sponsor.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And he took Vernon got his 35-year tenant. He's getting, because he was an apprentice in this local.
For heaven's
35
sake.
Years ago.
Wow.
And he's 37 years, but mm-hmm. 35 years, because they don't have the 37. Next will be 40.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack is the one that introduced Vernon into the plumbing game. And Vernon liked plumbing more so than the welding. He does welding and steam fitting, mm-hmm. but that is his ticket, which they call his ticket, his label, is a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's the one who introduced. So he used to say to me, see, I got a good investment for you,
mm-hmm.
something good. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll look into it, you know, and I would. Because, I was here so many years already. I said, if I buy, you know, we always rented up to,
because it's such a losing deal to keep renting, you know?
We did. We lived on Brand Street over by the Newsmore, and our dear friend is there. And we lived at Fairview Manor. Uh-huh. We lived over in Noble Street. And I felt if I bought, I'd never leave.
Oh, is that funny? The little things we give ourselves I can understand that so well.
I would do that. And then 17 years ago, we decided to buy, and we bought this place. And then Bernie had it all this time, because mm-hmm. it was just three rooms. But before that, we could have homesteaded. We have dear friends that homesteaded on Keen Hot Springs Road. And at that time, you know how far out that is.
Oh, yeah, even now.
But it was a cow track.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. And our friend said, he was a laborer. In fact, he was BA, the president of the laborers local.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Vernon started working together in the 40s. Mm-hmm. So we were real good friends. They're retired now in Montana. But Jim said, why don't you go out homestead with us, you know, and get some land and everything? Mm-hmm. I said, you crazy, I'm not going to go up there. And look what Keen Hot Springs Road is today.
Oh, I know, but you know, these things you always know, and you just do the... I can understand where you were thinking so well, especially as a woman, because, okay, we're going to stop this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can tell you something. My husband went hunting out of season. I shouldn't tell that, huh?
Well, you got anything like, don't worry. I mean, and I will be very cautious.
I got to tell you. Uh-huh. And they got, we were at a friend's house, and they lived in Kent City. Over before Queen's Field, there was a Kent City there.
What was that? Just people coming over and couldn't find housing?
That's why we lived so many places, like in rooms. We lived on 9th Avenue in a private home. First place, we couldn't afford to buy.
Mm-hmm.
He could afford it, you know, he was laboring then before he became a apprentice, and as I said, he didn't bring home $80 a week. And so you couldn't rent a house and buy a house in those days. You couldn't afford that, you know. Even though it was cheap, we didn't have.
Yes, it's all relative. Yes, we were
poor people. So, this fellow, very dear friend of ours, he lives in California now, retired. He was a welder. He worked with Vernon when Vernon became an apprentice. So then he met Vernon and he said, gee, you know, he says, my wife would like to meet your wife. You know, she's an Italian from back east.
Oh, yeah.
And he was from Boston, and he told us when we come visit him. Well, he lived over in Tent City. And Tent City was, there was two places. One over where Fairbanks is, and it was a regular tent, a big tent. Those big old tents, like big old army tents. That wooden floor.
And that's what he
just lived in year round. And Celotex siding, mm-hmm. and they had a stove in there, and they had carried in water, and bed was one big room, so it was a living room, bedroom, and no bathroom. Mm-hmm. Usually it was a community bathroom. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people lived in a long time, until they start building, like our friends lived in his, and then they built in Aurora, mm-hmm. their own home. But mm-hmm. before that, they lived over there on College in the Tent City, amongst the trees. And we had a lot of fun, warm as anything, and it was so cold, like 50, 60 below, and they had to have the door open, because one big room was us four in there, was just right before Jeff Moore,
mm-hmm.
and be celebrating different holidays or having Italian dinners together, you know, and it would be, we'd leave the door open, and cold, but it was warm in here, and be right where the door is, it would be like an ice skating rink, and we would go ice skating. It was crazy. And that's what they, a lot of people live like that.
Oh, yeah.
See? And we are fortunate that we were able to live in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth. You know,
yeah.
They moved or they sold, so they said, I know somebody else, have a room for you, and that's
mm-hmm.
how we did. And then, so then we heard of a trailer that we could get. And that was on 17th Avenue.
But what year was that?
It was in, I'm trying, that's, let's see, 49.
Mm-hmm.
48 was the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on Wendell Street. And you know, I was thinking about different things I was telling you. The flood, I've got pictures of people canoeing up our street on
Wendell
Street.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
It looked like a river.
Oh, yeah.
And Mrs. Grill and I, every day, I couldn't get out, she couldn't get out. And we watched the basement would be getting water higher and higher. And it was slapping right at the kitchen door, right at the door to come into the kitchen. And the guy was lower next door to us. The house was gone now. Like I told you, that house over
mm-hmm.
there on
mm-hmm.
Wendell is still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go on Wendell Street Bridge, I think of that while we lived there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The man next door, he was an old timer, an old bachelor. He just opened up the front back door and let it go right on through. Couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was
that
so
was really pretty smart, you know.
Was,
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. she had her basement, so that's what saved
mm-hmm.
the house.
Yeah, totally.
And it was 8 feet of water, and just we'd open the door, and there it was right at the sill, ready to sleep on it, and then it started to recede. We were so lucky that it didn't hit. And then there, when we were there one time, we never had an earthquake in my life,
mm-hmm.
been in one, and this was a doozy. And that was an old house, and
mm-hmm.
the air was like a lean-to the bedroom. Vernon was working nights, like I said,
mm-hmm.
and I was awake, and I was sitting reading, because he was sleeping. And all of a sudden, the house starts shaking, and they were at work because he was the postmaster and she was
mm-hmm.
the teacher. And I thought the house was falling apart, it's an old clunk of a house. And I grabbed Vernon, and I don't know where I had the strength, because you know he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled him out. I said, Vernon, the house is collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the earthquake.
Oh,
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But we had a chest of drawers here, and it slid across the other room.
What year was that?
This was in 48, because we were here. We left Julie's house.
Yeah.
We left Julie's house to when they sold out and moved, and then she got all of one of the church members, so we got
mm-hmm.
into her house. And that, so it was after, it was in 48. Because after that, we moved on 10th Avenue. We were all over this place.
Mm-hmm.
And It was funny afterwards. And Murray said, what are you doing? He's half asleep, see? And he just felt, he figured, I know better than him because he's sleeping. The light swung and broke the bowl because it was an old-fashioned light.
Very frightening. I'm scared stiff when that happens. Yeah.
I hate her. So I didn't know what it was. And of course, afterwards, I got used to them. We had a lot of shocks, you know, after that. And a lot of earthquakes here. I had one that was broke all records. In 1 month, I forget how many earthquakes we had. That was registering. That's how many. One of the years. And everybody took a part, but of course, we were so used to it because they said, oh, Fairbanks always has those shakes, you know, always has earthquakes. But Vernon, when he woke up, I got him to the door, and he finally woke up and he says, what are you doing, Beatty? I said, Vernon, this old house is going to collapse on you. He said, oh, it's an earthquake. He turns right around and goes right back.
Yeah, but I can see when you didn't know.
Yeah, because I was from back east. Wouldn't we have had an earthquake? You know, and then I went and did laundry and brought the wet things home, and they said, don't hang it out. We had a rack, the old-fashioned rack that we had.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Long John's.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie's Long John's. And I said, why? It's such a lovely day. You know, and I go and I hung it out. It was nice. And I go, we didn't have a camera then, you know, poor people. I wish I had it because, you know, it was stiff.
Oh,
it was like I know, you know, this was all new to me. Such things, and everybody bust out laughing. Vernon's Long John's all stretched out his arms. I couldn't even take the clothespins off, and I finally did, and I put it in, and I started dancing.
Good for you.
And the neighbor, old timers, old back. I fell in, they said, for sure you're from New York, because I knew I was all new to me. And then when after we left there, we went to a house, and I told you on that old barn, chicken house, our barn house in, on 10th Avenue. And then from there we got heard of this trailer. We went there, and then I was hat checking on weekends at the Elks Club, and I was still working on the base. The bird's light on is Johnson, Vern stayed with me when I had to. He stayed. He talked to all his members because he was an elf. And I was an emblem in that time. And I was hat checking, and Vern would come over and say, how you doing, Swan? You know, and I just had a premonition. I said, you know, Vern, we should go check on our trailer. Something to me is not right. And this is very cold. This is during the winter. Now, it was about 45 below at this time. So I spoke to the steward, the manager of the outcome, and I said, hey, Chet, would you have someone watch my roof? I just have a feeling something's not right with our trailer. This is short. You know, we walked. Elk covers were pennies, and we walked to 17 where our trailer was. We got there, we opened up the door, and it looked like we were in a cavern. Like Carlsbad Cavern, it froze. Something happened with the fuel feeder, and it went into the ground instead of in the trailer. And the good thing, we had no bathroom, and we lived in this trailer called, and we had to take our showers and go to a bathroom in the community. And that was the duty when it was 50, 60 below to go out. And Vernon had to crawl under and shut it everything off, and then we fixed it. See, he knows that. He knew plumbing. And was able to fix it, and then he had a stay to melt everything, break off all the icicles. It was funny, though. I said, Vernon, if I had never met you, I would never went to
him. That's true, isn't it?
So many things, and we were dreaming. You know, even though it's an Eastern, and Vernon was from Las Vegas, but Las Vegas really was a railroad town when he was there. It's not like it is today. So we really was, you know, 21 and a half years old, 22 then. Pretty dumb. And everybody knew it, and they took us under their wings.
People are very good on
that. They were so good here, these girls. They were a lot older than us.
And they knew, we didn't know much of anything, you know, we were sheltered. Vernon went into the Navy when he was 17, and I always stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And I
How do you mean then?
My mother died when I was 16. And I was, my sister and her husband, kids moved in, and my father got married. And too many people were my bosses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody was telling me what to do. If I went out with a bunch of, now this, I'm not saying anything like that. But went out with a lot of guys, I was the trainer. You're the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
If I went with one guy, he's going to start getting too familiar. And where am I going? Where, what am I doing? This was already 18. I was 18, and I went to work in a defense plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in an office. They were building planes for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very unhappy because I had my brothers, my sisters, my one brother was in service, and my other one was going in, and then my older sister was going to be my boss. So my other sister in California wrote to me and said, Beanie, I need you. She had four little children.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved out to California
to
my sister, and I went by train, and always there from New York to California. And she's not very close, she's one who just passed away, and I was very, very close to her. And then she, one of her kids, which was a twin, a girl, she got rheumatic fever.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, Jean, you have to take her out of here, California, if you want a daughter to live. Take her to the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we're moving to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way to Arizona, we passed through Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother says, why not stop here? This is desert. So we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we start looking around for a place to rent, you know, and or a place with option to buy or to buy. And we happen to see a sign, like this house is on this corner, and it said, house for rent. So we went in, my brother-in-law and I, with my sister, with the kids in the car. And round the corner, here was Destin, and then here was a couple of houses. And it was Mr. Kennedy, his sister's house. And he took a liking to us, and he said, I'm at the real cheap. I know you'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that we rented that house. And my sister and my brother-in-law decided they're going to buy it. And they told him later on, and we became very good friends with Howard, Mr. Kennedy. And Vernon was in the Navy, and he didn't get home until a year later, after I met his mother and father. And it was his aunt's house that we bought. It was Vernon's aunt's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so when his father comes, when Vernon comes home, his father says, come on, Vernon, I want to introduce you to a beautiful little Jewish girl. Why he said that, I don't know. Vernon told me that later. He did. He brought Vernon over. He just got out of the Navy, beanpole, weighed around 140 pounds, 6'1", and just in his sleep. And I said, oh, he's a kid. He wrote a book. Same age, but So he came over and he met my sister and my brother-in-law and the older little kids and myself. And Jeannie, my sister, loved to cook and bake, and she always had something sweet. And Howard just loved to come to the house because he loved her cakes and pie. And she happened to have apple pie, so she asked Brendan and Howard if they would like a cup of coffee, and they did. We got acquainted. So Brendan and I went together for a year. At first, it was so-so. Then he said, you know, BB, it's really bad here. And we were getting serious. He was only making $35 a week in Las Vegas as a machinist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when he was in the Navy, he was World War II, 33 months at sea fighting.
Okay.
And he was a gun captain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you going to do when you come out of service as a gun captain? So he said, all my years, I want to go to Alaska. He said, would you mind if I went? And then you follow, I'll send you the money, and you follow me, we'll get married. But yes, we didn't tell my family or his family. And he was supposed to go with three other buddies from his ship. They made a pact. all of them were coming to Alaska. All ex-sailors, and they were all going to go on a sidewalk fishing fleet. Well, when the three buddies of his got home, you know what happened. Once they got home, they were going to leave home.
Yeah, yeah.
So Vernon gets hold of the buddy that he grew up with, an ex-sailor too, and he said, "Hey, bud, let's go to Alaska. You're not doing any better than me." He was a cement finisher. They decided to go, the two of them, Vernon and Bud. And they went by bus to Seattle. And then they were going to go to sea about signing up to be a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
Water didn't bother them, and boats are mm-hmm. So while they were hanging around waiting till there's coal, you know, in those days, mm-hmm. that's what it did. BJL Construction Company was building Air Force. Austin Airport
mm-hmm.
and Air Force Base. And they had a lot of work. And it burst a lot of Johnson and Lytle. That's the name of the company. So they yelled out, "Anybody, Gandy dances here?"
Gandy dances? What are Gandy dances?
Okay.
Yeah.
Bernie and Bud looked at each other and said, "We are. You're hired. You know what it is? Laying railroad tracks."
Oh, is that what it is? You know the Gandhi dance involved? Remember that old? Yeah. They're going to get. And I've always wondered what it was.
That's it.
Okay.
They laid the railroad from Alston to Laddie Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. That railroad was laid by Vernon and Bud and all these other guys. And that's why they were tonight. And otherwise, we'd never come here. We were in down somewhere southeast.
You're fishing. Are you waiting to see what
happened? Catch a can, we would have been, or Cordova somewhere. Mm-hmm. There, we would have mm-hmm. ended up.
But you would have fit in anywhere you went.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't mind. I'm a very adventurous.
I guess you are.
You know, my mother said her people were Romanian.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Austria, but she said the gypsy in our family came out and you. Me. Mm-hmm. Because anytime they said they were going somewhere, I was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I love to travel, and I love meeting people and mm-hmm. seeing things. I just love anything. Like last night when I saw the show on television, it gave me itchy feet. Like I would love to go there just to see the history, mm-hmm. something of the past.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
it. Like I want to go to England so big just to see the castles and all the old villages. I don't want to mm-hmm. go as a tourist castle. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I deal with Alaska. Every time we go out and stop, we go back ferry. We stop at all those places. It's a whole new adventure. I see something different. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful country anyway.
Oh, it is.
Beautiful
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
And Vernon, so anyway, when Vernon got here and he got the job, they both got the job. And that's why he sent me money. And I came a month later. We got married in July, mm-hmm. the 30th of July, 1947. But when he saw me, he didn't expect me to come so quick, but he didn't realize the flights were, they came on buses, they used to Seattle. So they never realized my connection would be so good from Las Vegas to here.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, yeah, I had no place to be to sleep.
Well, when you actually been here a couple of years and you settled and lived in the trailer, and did you notice any changes? How did you feel about the time that went on?
Well, people start. Either they left, you know, like the tent cities, and
mm-hmm.
they just said that it wasn't sanitary, you know. They
mm-hmm.
started dismantling it, and people started building their own places, or they mm-hmm. they left, like a lot of kids that Vernon knew, and I knew, too, they left. They got
mm-hmm.
homesick, and
mm-hmm.
they left, and it was all the old-timers who were still staying here. And a few stayed like we did.
Yeah, same thing's happening now. Yeah, they're getting, yeah.
Same,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. There's no in between here. You either hate it or love
that's
it.
That's right. Absolutely.
You
right.
don't. There's no feeling like, well, it's all right.
No.
It's one way or the other. No. I had met a couple through somebody else, and she had come to see us. Her daughter was handicapped, and I had met her through her father, and she was saying to me, she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I got a beautiful letter from her.
How could she not like it?
Yeah,
yeah.
She just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Helen, only one way or the other. You have to make up your mind that you're going to put up with any place. There's no utopia anywhere.
That's right. You got it.
You don't have paradise on
earth. That's right. And you put it in and you can get
making.
That's right.
I say it's up to you how you want to live. And I want to say I hate the place. You know, you talk yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've met such wonderful people here that are gone, that have passed away, or that left, went back outside. And that was a big. That's why I was waiting. But I, you know, at first, like I said, when I first came up and I saw what it was like, I didn't think I was going to like it here because it was rough looking. It was really tough looking. No, this is modernistic compared to when we were here in the 40s. There was really nothing. After you left 2nd Avenue, 1st, 2nd, and pushed in that one little section, 30th Avenue, 4th Avenue, of course, that was the 4th Street house of ill repute area. After that, there was nothing. You know, it was scattered in the Elks Club and then the Presbyterian Church. But it was scattered. It was not much business. Mm-hmm. You know, it had individual stores. My God, when Piggly Wiggly came here, it was just like we had the biggest store in the world. Piggly Wiggly. That's nothing today, but we thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was on 2nd Avenue. It opened up. My Lord, everybody ran at a poor little individual store that we had, like the Laskamark and Walker Brothers. They were going to belly up because Piggly Wiggly came in.
What was Piggly Wiggly?
Like a supermarket, like Martha Bassett or Foodland. See? Naturally, they're a franchise from outside, so they had things cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But everything here was air freight.
Mm-hmm.
It was very expensive. Was very dry because we shipped, we didn't have truckers coming in like today. And it was, and we just took it in our stride. We said if we were going to live in Alaska, close to Siberia, we're going to have to put up with the prices. And you know, the people couldn't understand why we're staying here. My family and his family, they still do. They're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
As many years we've lived here. And I said, it's just something in you. That, you know, it's the people. And you know, after winter, you're kind of disgusted. You know, you can't wait till spring. You know, it's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's true. And when I get letters from families and friends saying the flowers are blooming,
oh my,
that's killing me. They do it just to spite me, I think.
Oh, because I know how you feel.
You know, my niece will say, my tulips are coming up, my daffodils come up, and you know, and then my mother-in-law will say, I picked my first bouquet of roses. And you know, I'm looking out the window, and we got a lot of snow yet in April, March and April. February, everything is blooming in Vegas.
I know.
The weeping willows are all out. When in California, my God, there are roses. In December, there were roses all over the place when we were outside. So I could picture that. And then I look here and I said, what am I doing here? All these years, I keep saying, there's better places than here. But come springtime, summer. And then, you know, this summer was rotten, you know, it was rotten with all that rain. The daylight is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my flowers start bearing, I think nobody has better than I.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth. Yes, I heard a night today. This is the truth. We drove away. All right, darling. He wants a piece of garlic, but I shouldn't do this. I'll give him a little one because he's on his own. Yeah, I'll give him a little. So now I'll give you some fruit. That I'm joking with the sugar juice.
Mm-hmm.
You want some more tea?
Oh, I love it. Thank you. I just love your tea. Somebody do it just right.
I don't make it.
Do you have a biscuit, a cookie? And
you know, I have a piece of paper too.
Just a really tiny.
I didn't make it, somebody else made it.
Oh, well, maybe it's not any good.
But no, it's good. I got to refrigerate it. It looks like a good cake, but you know, I don't eat cake.
I
like, you know what? I like cheesecake, all that kind of stuff.
But I knew you always have something delicious, and I just wanted to touch you something sweet.
No, I have.
But
But I don't want him to know I have.
Well, do, you don't get it out if it's going to
be. No, I told him I'm going to do food. Oh. Food stuff. And he's got diet soda.
Mm. But you know, when you say this about living here and the people and making up your mind and making the best of everything, I guess, wouldn't you say that that's why your life has sort of been as happy and as eventful as it is, because of your attitude? How would you phrase it?
I think so. You know, like I said, you can make friends anywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
so
and you could like, dislike or like to your own mind. Nobody has to guide you. Nobody should guide you. I feel like, you know, and I love things that grow. I love trees and flowers and to see greenery. Well, when I lived in the desert, that's not, to me, isn't beautiful. But yet because it's all sand and barren. Mm-hmm. But yet at certain times of the year, there was beauty. Mm-hmm. Springtime, the desert flowers bloomed. It was like God came and seeded it. Because mm-hmm. I've got some pictures of desert flowers mm-hmm. out of this world. The whole hill looked like someone had planted it. Mm-hmm. And you know he did.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, there's beauty in everything, if you want to see it.
That's right. That's why I love you very much.
See, if mm-hmm. you want to see it. I see beauty in everything. My mm-hmm. son, I see. When he does anything, he's beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet people say, you have such courage because I've taken him on and took care of him. I said, why? That was God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he's given me pleasure. Mm-hmm. More so than some of the people with the normal kids. And that, all I know, is the truth.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of them with the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have had heartache. And it's hurt my heart because they've had such trouble. And other things, you know, things that were there. So I'm thankful what God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I have peace of mind. And I've met, you know, I went back, I hate to say this, I went back to see my family, and I love my family, and I like Vernon's family. But you know, they're narrow-minded. You know why I say that? Because here, I met people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
And they broadened my mind. And they taught me. I mean, through experience, not from being here and meeting all kinds of people. They've helped me expand my mind.
Oh, absolutely.